I'd invite you to turn in your Bibles into the Old Testament this morning, into 1 Kings chapter 8. 1 Kings chapter 8. So make your way to that text. I'm going to read for you verses 54 through 63. I'll invite you to stand in honor of the Word of God. 1 Kings chapter 8. Again, our text being verses 54 through 63. Hear the word of the Lord. When Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hands spread toward heaven. And he stood and blessed all the assembly of Israel with a loud voice, saying, "Blessed be the Lord, who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. May the Lord our God be with us, as he was with our fathers. May he not leave us or forsake us, that he may incline our hearts to himself, to walk in all his ways, and to keep his commandments and his statutes and his ordinances, which he commanded our fathers. And may these words of mine, with which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel, as each day requires, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. Let your heart rejoice, therefore. Be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in his statutes and to keep his commandments as at this day." Now the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Solomon offered for the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 oxen and 120,000 sheep. So the king and all the sons of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. So ends the reading of God's word. May we be blessed as we study it together. You may be seated. It was just about 3 years ago, this past November, that I received a phone call informing me that Hope Community Bible Church was being evicted from the YMCA facility that we were using, and that we had 3 days to vacate that facility. Not only did we panic because, well, where are we going to meet, but we also have all this stuff, and where are we going to put it all? Well, there were many frantic prayers that were offered up to the Lord, as you might well imagine, and it was not long before we were offered to come back to this very facility where we meet today in order to have services that following Sunday. This, coupled with the generosity of some in our church who helped us store things, got us temporarily situated. And so we came back to this facility. And as we did, for those of you that are new, we had sold this facility and we were hoping to get the capital from this facility and build out kind of west, but the church that was here could never secure a loan. We held the note for them. So we came back here and we began looking at other locations to meet, but one of the things that we found over and over again is that it's expensive in Northwest Arkansas, especially for a church. At the same time, the church that was here that held the note, as generous as they were, they informed us that they would not be able to pay on the note on the facility any longer. And as of June 1st, 2017, this facility became ours once again. Of course, we left the facility in part because there were so many things that needed to be done. The women's bathroom needed to be remodeled and we couldn't afford to do it. So we left. That needed to be repaired, upgraded, and so that's one of the reasons why we left. But now we fast forward a couple of years, and we're back now into our facility here. It's now ours, and in October, we were hit by a tornado, leaving us with all sorts of structural damage, trees downed everywhere, and that was exciting. That was 3 months ago. And a tornado has hit our church, but here we gather, and we didn't miss a Sunday. We gather and we are grateful to God for His provisions, because God has not only allowed us to repair the damage that was done by the tornado, but as we have been sharing, to make the whole facility so much nicer than it was before. I'm so grateful to the Lord and grateful to the people the Lord has brought to this very place for this very purpose, providentially, who will serve the Lord and has enabled us on this day to celebrate and dedicate this facility and ourselves once again as we start this new year of 2020. This morning, let us rejoice at what God has given us. And so to do that, I take you back to the very text that we used to first dedicate this facility when we came back here in the book of 1 Kings chapter 8. Before us then is King Solomon's prayer of dedication when the temple, the glorious temple Solomon had built, was completed in Jerusalem. The year, if you're into that sort of stuff, is about 958 BC. My purpose for bringing us to this text is to consider the principles behind the prayer of Solomon, because I believe these are principles that we ought to apply in one sense daily as we dedicate ourselves to the Lord. Do you know that a dedication to the Lord is not that something you just do occasionally? Every day you ought to dedicate yourself to the Lord. And there are principles in this text that will allow us not only to thank the Lord and dedicate a facility to Him, but also to dedicate ourselves to the glory of God. Let me ask you a question as we begin. What does it mean to dedicate something to the Lord? What comes to your mind when you're faced with the question, what does it mean to dedicate yourself to the Lord? What is the significance of dedicating a building, or even more importantly, maybe dedicating a child? Why would we dedicate a child to the Lord? Why would we dedicate a building? Why would we dedicate our own lives? And before we answer that, let me give you some of the background on this temple that Solomon and the people of Israel were dedicating. According to 1 Kings chapter 6, verses 37 and following, it took Solomon 7 years to complete the temple, 7 years of construction. Recall that David, Solomon's father, and the former king had spent multiple years before that making all of the preparations for the temple. This was a long-term project that took time to complete, just like it took us 25 years to redo the bathrooms. It's a long project. With some of the work, they called in skilled workers in 1 Kings chapter 7, because this was to be a place where God would meet with His people congregationally. Only the best materials were used. Solomon's goal was to construct a magnificent temple built for the magnificent God of Israel to manifest His glory before the nations. Once the temple was completed, the last thing to be done was to bring in that the Ark of the Covenant, and place it in the inner sanctuary of the temple, that place we call the Most Holy Place. It would sit under the wings of the cherubim. And with this done, when that was accomplished, if you read on in the text, the priests withdrew from the holy place where they had put the Ark of the Lord, because the glory of the Lord filled the temple and it literally drove the people out. I would love to have a service where the glory of the Lord drove us all out of here. The priest had to withdraw, as 1 Kings 8, verses 10 through 11 tell us. It says this: "It happened that when the priest came from the holy place, the cloud filled the house of the Lord, so that the priest could not stand to minister because of the cloud, for the glory of the Lord filled the house of the Lord." Now, one thing I do want to say, and I'm getting off my notes, so this is dangerous, because I have a second sermon to preach. No. Every Sunday when we gather here, if Jesus Christ be in us, the hope of glory, then the glory of the Lord fills this place every time you show up. Do not tell me it is not important for you to be with the gathering of the saints. Because when you're not here, you diminish the glory of the Lord in this place. Well, here's a place where the glory of the Lord filled the temple and it drove everyone out. It was at this time that Solomon offered up two prayers of dedication. The first prayer is a longer prayer. And recorded for us in 1 Kings 8, verses 22 through 53, I would encourage you to read that perhaps sometime today. It's a beautiful prayer. It's worthy of your consideration, outlining all that had taken place. But we're looking at the second prayer of dedication here in 1 Kings 8, verses 54 and following. And from this text, I would offer you five considerations that ought to guide us as we dedicate and formally thank God for the provision of this building, that it would bring glory to God and be a place where people may grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And so let's look at these particular aspects. Number one, we are to praise God's praise God for His promises. We praise God for His promises. Solomon's prayer begins with praise and blessing to God for all that he has accomplished on behalf of Israel. Look again at verse 54. When Solomon had finished praying this entire prayer and supplication, that's the first prayer to the Lord, he arose from before the altar of the Lord, from kneeling on his knees with his hand spread towards heaven, and he stood and he blessed all of the assembly of Israel with a loud voice. And here's his prayer. Here's the blessing that Solomon gives. Blessed be the Lord. It's interesting to bless the people, you bless the Lord. Blessed be the Lord who has given rest to his people Israel according to all that he has promised. Not one word has failed of all his good promise, which he promised through Moses, his servant. We praise God for his promises. How easy might it have been for Solomon to stand before the people and take credit for what had just happened. My father tried to get it all done, but I'm the one that stands before you today, and I got this accomplished to the glory of God, of course, but look at me. Many years later, a king by the name of Nebuchadnezzar was given a similar opportunity to give glory to God. And if you recall the story in Daniel 4, verse 26, we read these words. King Nebuchadnezzar reflected and said, "Is this not Babylon the Great, which I myself have built as a royal residence by the might of my power and for the glory of my majesty?" What happened to him when he stood with such a boastful statement? These words brought Nebuchadnezzar down for a season, turning him into a wild beast. But Solomon and the people here of Israel had a different perspective, a different view of things. Although they had done so much planning and so much labor, they had collected so much for this very moment. Solomon recognized a greater planner. Solomon recognized a greater laborer. He recognized a greater provider. No doubt all the people joyfully and obediently done their parts, but here is Solomon in his wisdom. Here is Solomon, a man of God, recognizing that all of this was possible only because of one person, the Lord God, the God of heaven and earth, the God who provides, who opens his hands and satisfies the desire of every living thing. Do you recognize God as the source of all that is good in your life? It was the Lord that gave Israel rest from her enemies, so that they could do what? Focus on building this magnificent temple to the Lord. It was the Lord who provided everything necessary to complete the project. It was the Lord who fulfilled every good promise he had made through his servant Moses. And so Solomon begins this second prayer, blessing God for all that he has done. And it's so reminiscent of a prayer that we echo so often. Here's the principle that I might have you apply as you begin a new year, as we thank the Lord for this facility. And here's the principle. I know you've heard it so many times. Here it is, that whatever we do, whether we eat or drink, whether we meet in and care for a building, it is all to be done how? To the glory of God. How did you do in 2019 to do everything to the glory of God? Well, Pastor, that's done and over with. Well, yes. So how will we do all things to the glory of God in 2020? And it starts right now as we thank the Lord for giving us this place to meet, to preach and proclaim and live out the gospel. It is God who has given us our skills. It is God who has given us our people. It is God who has given us our jobs. It is God who has given us our finances and our times and our relationships with others. It is God who gives us opportunities. And ultimately, it is God who gives us the strength to do whatever it is that needs to be done for His glory. The moment you think you're doing something for the glory of God in your own strength, you've done it for your own glory. The first thing any of us ought to do upon entering into a new circumstance or being given a new blessing is to start with what Solomon did here. Praise God for His promises, for all that He has done. So we give God the glory and we give Him praise for all that He has provided. A new roof, new paint, new carpet, whatever it is. May He be glorified because of these things. The Lord has promised to work all things together for the good of those who love Him. Can we say, yes, God, You have done, You've worked all of this good. How many would say a tornado is a good thing? Hope Community Bible Church can say a tornado is a good thing because God was bigger than the tornado. He's promised to work all things together for the good of those who love Him. And I thank God this morning for Him and for you as a people who love the Lord, a people who love ministry, a people who love the Word of God. And He has given us a ministry as a congregation. And with the renewal of the facility comes many opportunities for us to serve the Lord. And I hope you are ready. So let us bless the Lord and praise the Lord for His promises. That's the first point. Second point. Prayer for God's people. Not only do we praise God for the promises, we are to be in prayer for God's people. After praising the Lord for the keeping of His promises, Solomon launches next into a prayer for God's people. And there are three elements of this prayer that I think are significant to point out. And the first one is found in verse 57, that we be kept in God's presence, that God's people be kept in God's presence. Look at verse 57. May the Lord our God be with us. Who is Jesus? Emmanuel, God with us. As He was with our fathers, may He not leave us or forsake us. You know, it's interesting. Solomon acknowledges God's work for their fathers in the past. No doubt you could, with Solomon, think back to how did God provide for Abraham? Did God provide for Abraham, for Isaac, and for Jacob? How God had been with the patriarchs, leading them. He had been with others. He had certainly been with Moses as Moses led the children of Israel out of Egypt and through the desert. How God had called him and enabled him to do remarkable things to the glory of God. And now Solomon seeks this one prayer. What a great prayer that we ought to be praying for our church and for one another. God, may we always be in Your presence. Now, I understand God is omnipresent, and we can say there's a sense we're always in His presence, but this is in a special sense. This is in a worship sense. This is that idea that I am always constantly worshiping my God. Beloved, what could be more appropriate at a time like this as we thank the Lord for His past presence? God, You've been with us. You've brought us through so many things. To pray for God's continued presence so that we might see Him do remarkable things for His glory in and through us. Beloved, we must pray as a church seeking to fulfill His purposes in this community for His continued presence among us, because apart from Him, we can do nothing. If we are not with Jesus, we are against Him. If we are not abiding in Him, we are branches that are dying and ready to be burned. Beloved, our prayer must be that when people see us coming from our services, when people hear us talking about our church, they will recognize something that was recognized even by the Jewish leaders. If you've been in the new Bible reading plan, the Jewish leaders, when they interrogated and threatened Peter and John, what did they notice? They said, these men have been with who? Jesus. They could see it. They understood it. That's the prayer. May we always pray, God, when we leave this place, may it be recognized we have been with Jesus. Most of you know how Peter and John ended their apology before those Jewish leaders who recognized such things. At least you are familiar with the first part of it. Their apology ends with these words in Acts 4:12, "And there is salvation in no one else, for there is no other name under heaven that has been given among men by which we must be saved." How many have heard that before? Have you ever quoted the next verse? What does it say in the very next verse? Now, as they observed the confidence of Peter and John and understood that they were uneducated and untrained men, they were amazed and began to recognize them as having been with Jesus. Oh, that's the place we need to be. Why should you spend time with the Lord in the morning? Because you should go to work, you should go to school, you should go to Walmart or wherever it is you're headed off, and people should recognize you have been with Jesus. When we gather to worship in this place, we ought to desire to be with Jesus and to have Jesus so fill us to overflowing that others will recognize it as well. We gather to worship the Lord our God and our Savior Jesus Christ, not in the beauty of this particular place. We don't worship here in the beauty of a place as nice and clean as everything is now, all fixed up. Rather, our desire should be to worship the Lord in the beauty of His presence. You see, we're going before the throne of God. We're going before the majesty on high. And our minds should not be so focused on these material things around us, but upon the living God whom we serve. So let us be a people who, like Solomon, pray that God will be with us, that we will be in His presence, that we will that He will be with us as He's been with those who have gone before us. I know that salvifically, the Lord never leaves us or forsakes us. But the glory of the Lord may depart from a congregation that does not honor God's word, that does not worship Him in spirit and in truth, the glory will depart. And so may we be a people who constantly are praying, God, may Your glory fill this place. May Your presence be with us. As we gather to worship in Jesus' name, we can be assured that Christ is with us, that He is present with us, that He brings us into God's presence as we lift up the name of Jesus and worship our Heavenly Father in the power of His Spirit. What a wonderful prayer to pray, to be kept in the presence of God. But there's more. Not only do we praise Him for His promises, not only do we pray for His people, but we also are to recognize, we are to be kept in God's precepts. We pray for the people, we be kept in God's precepts. Look at verse 58. That He may incline our hearts to Himself to walk in all His ways and to keep His commandments and His statutes and His ordinances which He commanded our fathers. So here we find Solomon's prayer that God's people would be not only experiencing His presence, but then it's not just, oh, I want to have some kind of emotional experience, but I want to practice what I'm now experiencing. There's this prayer to be walking in and keeping the ways of God. In his letter to the Ephesians, Paul gives a universal and binding exhortation to all the churches, to all the saints, in Ephesians chapter 4, verse 1, that God's people, you probably heard it from this pulpit before, God's people would what? Walk in a manner worthy of their calling. You're not here to flippantly serve the Lord. You are here to walk and follow God in all of His ways. It is amazing to me how replete the Scriptures are with calls and pleas and exhortations and admonitions and warnings to God's people to do this one thing. Keep God's ways. Do not depart from God's ways. It is almost as if to suggest that some of us might actually have a problem at times staying the course. I know that's a shock. Oh, we do have those problems, don't we? Hence the need for the church. Hence the need to gather. Not just in a building for the building's sake, but a gathering of people who exhort and encourage one another to walk in a manner worthy of the Lord. But what strikes me about this prayer, if you'll notice there, in verse 58, this prayer of Solomon is that it is primarily a prayer for God to do something to us. He says, incline us. I love that word, incline us. You know, we are a boastful, proud people, and we think we can do so much on our own. We even think we can worship God aright as we come here this morning, like, I've got it all together. I didn't, but you guys might think that, right? And here's the prayer of Solomon. God, incline us. Turn our hearts to you. If we are going in one direction and God wants us to go in a different direction, then guess what? We need God to incline our hearts to do that. Else, what do? We just stay the course of our rebellion. And so we pray to God, turn our hearts that we may walk in all your ways and be obedient to all your commands. If left to ourselves, here's the truth, if left to ourselves, we will never do it. And so, as we begin church life in this building, let our prayers be, Lord, incline our hearts to you, to do your will, to do it your way all the time. In Ezekiel 36, verses 26 and 27, written some 350 years after this event that we're looking at, the Lord states the promise of life-changing power that will come with the new covenant. Listen to what the Lord God says the gospel of Jesus Christ will bring to them. Listen, verse 26. Moreover, I will give you a new heart and put a new spirit within you, and I will remove the heart of stone from your flesh and give you a heart of flesh. I will put my spirit within you and cause you to walk in my statutes, and you will be careful to observe my commandments. Too many people think, I'm just going to make some kind of resolution and I'm going to do everything that I can do to serve the Lord. No, your prayer ought to be, and our prayer for one another ought to be, Lord, incline us to do these things. Because I can't do it. Left to myself, I will wander. We sing it so often, prone to wander, Lord, I feel it, prone to leave the God I love. These verses in Ezekiel sound like inclining our hearts, does it not? Incline our hearts to you, Lord, that we might obey, that we might do all things that bring you glory. One final thought on this. Notice in verse 61, Solomon comes back to this. He says it again. When an author says something twice in the Bible, pay attention, right? He's calling God's people not simply to look at dedicating the temple, dedicating a building. But as they're dedicating that building, he says, I want you to dedicate your lives because that's the most important thing. Notice what he says. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord our God. It's not let this building be wholly devoted to the Lord. That kind of goes without saying. But now the real issue is, will you resolve as God's people to let your heart be wholly devoted to the Lord, to walk in his statutes and keep his commandments? That's a daily prayer. May this be our prayer as well. Finally, this aspect of Solomon's prayer for God's people is this, that we would keep God's purpose. Verses 59 and 60. I love these verses. Verse 59, and may these words of mine, which I have made supplication before the Lord, be near to the Lord our God day and night, that he may maintain the cause of his servant and the cause of his people Israel as each day requires. Well, what is this cause? Look at now verse 60. I love this. Let's wake up and see what God intended for Israel, because guess what? It's the same intention for us, so that all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. Why is the building being dedicated? Why are the people being asked to commit themselves afresh to the Lord? Because if God works with us in this facility, it'll be a means by which all the world may know that he is God and that there is no other Savior except him who is our Lord Jesus Christ. Do you know what this is? It's an evangelistic prayer. Here is Solomon praying evangelistically. The continued prayer for God's presence and provision of the previous verses has a very specific purpose. Why do we want God's presence among us? Why do we need God's provision? So that we may fulfill God's purpose of making him known in the world. Solomon's prayer has a missions focus. He prays for God to meet the daily needs of the people, not for their own sake, but so that the peoples of the earth may know that Yahweh alone is God. How important is this for us to remember this morning, people, as we take up a refreshed season in this facility? Beloved, we do not exist for ourselves, but as we've been noting, we exist for one purpose. If you are in Christ, you exist for God's glory and for the spreading of God's salvation throughout our community, and as the Lord gives us opportunity, even to the nation. And this is a prayer then that keeps us from turning inward. And we are prone to turn inward. It is nice to be comfortable. It is nice to be surrounded by people that we know, that we get along with. But we are to be praying that the world may know, that they may know. It's not an inward. It's not an inward prayer. It's an outward prayer. This is a prayer that our decisions will not be based on what we think is best for us as a congregation, per se, but rather, as we gather as the church to worship Christ, we must be always thinking about how do we reach those outside of the church who still need Christ. Solomon's prayer in verse 60 reminds us of Jesus' command then in Matthew 28. Maybe you've heard it a few times. Go therefore and do what? Make disciples. Make disciples of who? Your best friend, people that you know, that you care about. No, it says this, it could be that, but make disciples of all the nations, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and teaching them, I love it, here it is, teaching them to observe all that I have commanded you. Can you imagine being the disciples? I'm supposed to teach these people to obey all that Jesus has commanded when I'm already having my own problems obeying all that Jesus has commanded? Oh, I need another prayer. Lord, incline my heart to obey all your statutes. You see how it all fits together. We meet together now in this place so that we can be so filled with Christ, so filled with his words that we cannot help but have his presence in us overflow to those outside of the church. I fear that so many of us in our culture, we come to church and maybe we want some kind of inspiration, maybe we do get inspired, but the moment we walk out the doors of the church, it all kind of dies there. The glory stays here. And I'm saying the glory should be following us wherever we go. And so we pray for our needs as a church. And we ask God to meet our needs. But we must always remember why we exist as a church. And here's a great opportunity for me to share with you once again our vision statement as a church. Don't worry about copying it down. It's on our website. It's good to do this every once in a while. But let's consider it. Hope Community Bible Church exists to glorify God by making disciples who will grow in the grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. So that, going on, God's person is richly worshipped in spirit and in truth. We start with our worship of God. Next, God's people are thoughtfully and thoroughly instructed in the Scriptures because we need to know God through His Word. That God's people are equipped to carry out the work of ministry, which is to take the glory of God into the world. That God's people are lovingly inclined to meaningful fellowship, that this isn't the only time we should be together. And finally, that God's message is proclaimed locally and abroad. But again, that first line, Hope Community Bible Church exists to glorify God by what? Making disciples. 2020 is just starting. Would you resolve God by your grace? Let me see at least one person, just one, if that's all it might be, brought to faith in Christ and made a disciple, a follower of you. We make disciples by sharing the gospel of Jesus, by praying for salvation, by helping one another grow in the grace and knowledge. Beloved, the church is to have an upward focus, our eyes on Christ. We're to have a downward focus, encouraging and exhorting one another in the things of Christ. And we're to have an outward focus, telling other people the truth about God, about man and sin, about Jesus and salvation. What a blessing it is to be part of a church that so greatly desires to communicate Christ. Yet I exhort you and I exhort myself that we all need to do a better job in the area of personal evangelism. Again, the issue would be if you just prayed that one person would be brought to faith this year through your efforts, and if we have, whether it's 50 or 75 or 100 people here, but if we had 75 people do that, what would be the outcome when we're having this meeting a year from now? We'd be a bigger church. We'd be a bigger church. That's not the goal. The goal is to see people come to Christ. But let me ask you, how many people have you spoken to about the Lord Jesus Christ, that He is the only Savior lately? When was the last time? When was the last time you invited someone to church? When was the last time you went out into the highways and byways and bid them, pleaded with people to come in? There are so many people who would love to come to church. There are so many people who would love to come to church, and there's only one thing that stands in the way of their coming to church. You know what it is? You inviting them. Oh, but I've invited some. Invite them again. Invite them a third time, a fourth time, a 50th time. May it be our desire to see the gospel go to all the nations. That's kind of our last statement, and so all the earth that would know. So we pray for our missionaries. May we also want the gospel to go across the street. May we want it to go to family and friends who have resisted the gospel. That's part of the outward focus. That's part of this prayer that we are to pray. This is the third portion of Solomon's prayer. Here, look at it again there. That all the peoples of the earth may know that the Lord is God. There is no one else. There's so many people who think there's other things better than the Lord. We need to live our lives and pray in such a way that they may know that the Lord is God. Well, that brings us to our third thing, the presentation of the temple in verses 61 through 63. As Solomon and the people prepare to dedicate the temple, notice three things that must be true of God's people if that dedication is to be truly glorifying to God. You ready? Here's the first one. To dedicate the house of the Lord takes commitment. If we're going to dedicate a facility or a ministry, it takes commitment. Look at verse 61. Let your heart, therefore, be wholly devoted to the Lord our God, to walk in His statutes and to keep His commandments as at this day. Solomon's final request is that God's people would remain fully committed to God at all times. That's the idea behind the word wholly devoted. A body, soul, mind, spirit, everything would stay in tune with God. Again, that's quite the prayer. There's nothing easy about that. We're going to have a hard time just getting through this day fulfilling that. But that's the prayer. That's supposed to be the prayer. That's the heart of what all dedications to God are to be about. But honestly, what good does it do to commit a temple or a church building or anything to the Lord if you yourself will not be personally committed to the Lord yourself? In other words, you can be here, oh, it's great, we're gonna dedicate our building to the Lord, and this is going to be a place where the gospel is presented, but you're going to go out and live your life in a way that's not worthy of the calling with which you've received. That's a useless resolve. You must be personally committed to the Lord yourself. And this applies to anything we might desire to dedicate to the Lord. Many times people want the pastor to pray a prayer of dedication for a new home. Maybe it's a new business. Can you pray for our business? A baby. We have prayers of dedication for babies. I'm always eager to do that. But understand something, that with such prayers of dedication, they only have meaning if you yourself will personally commit yourself to the Lord. That you are determined to walk daily with the Lord. How dreadful to pray a prayer of dedication over a child, over a house, over a building, if you're not going to live a godly life for Jesus in that house, live a godly life before that child in that house, if we would dare to not try to pursue proclaiming Jesus in this particular house. How dreadful to pray such a prayer of dedication for a new business that you're not going to run according to godly principles. And again, how dreadful would it be to pray a prayer of dedication for a church building if we are not each personally committed to the task of making disciples. How can we dedicate something to God's glory if we are not seeking to glorify Him with our lives, is the idea. I suspect that this is in part of what Solomon's prayer that really got hard for some people to hear. Solomon stepped on people's toes. Sometimes you tell me, Pastor, you really stepped on my toes, and well, I guess that's good. Here Solomon does it because, again, listen to the prayer. Here he's about to dedicate the beautiful temple to the Lord. This is all about, look at the beauty of this thing. It's laid with gold. It's got all of this, the skilled workmanship. This, look at that temple. It's great. And Solomon looks at the people and says, let your mind, let your very being be wholly devoted to the Lord our God. This building is nothing if you will not walk in His statutes and keep His commandments. If you're familiar with the rest of the history of Israel and the temple, God's people did turn away from Him. That is, they sinned against the Lord. And what did He do? He took the temple away from them. He destroyed that because it became an object of worship rather than God. He sent the Babylonians in and they ransacked the temple. They burned it to the ground. All the beautiful items that were in there were now stolen and taken to Babylon. The people had had confidence in the temple, not in God. Their attitude was, nothing bad will happen to us because we have a building. God says, you've got the wrong perspective. God said, let your heart therefore be wholly devoted to the Lord your God. Because otherwise, your dedication is meaningless. Beloved, we can only truly dedicate things to God when we first dedicate ourselves. And so I'm calling you to dedicate, rededicate, renew your mind in these things, that our prayer would be that we as God's people would remain faithfully and fully committed to Him. To dedicate the house of the Lord requires commitment. Second, to dedicate the house of the Lord takes community. I could have come in here last night, got down on my knees, and I could have prayed, God, thank you so much for all that you've given to us as a congregation. I commit myself to you. I'm going to do everything I can in the power of your grace to see that this facility is kept up. How long am I going to keep this facility up by myself? It takes community. Notice what it says in verse 62 at the beginning. Now, the king and who? All Israel with him. So dedication takes commitment, but it also takes community. Our text says, now the king and all Israel with him, the task of dedication and keeping something for the use of the Lord requires not a singular effort, not the singular effort of one person, not the singular effort of a small group of people, but here it was Solomon and the entirety of the congregation of Israel with him. As we begin church life again in this new year, please understand that it takes community not simply to thank the Lord this one time for the provisions that He has given us for this place, but it will take a community of committed people to keep a place up like this for the glory of God. And isn't this reminiscent again of things we see in the New Testament? The Apostle Paul in Ephesians chapter 2, verses 19 through 22. Listen to what he says. So then you are no longer strangers and aliens. I mean, you're not some people that don't, you know, you look strange and you don't know one another, but you are, what does he say? You are fellow citizens with the saints. You are of God's household, having been built on the foundation of the apostles and the prophets, Christ Jesus himself being the cornerstone, in whom the whole building being fitted together is growing into a holy temple in the Lord, in whom you also are being built together into a dwelling of God in the Spirit. Oh my word. There's physical things that are going to need to be done. There are spiritual things that need to be done. If you are a believer, you have a part in this, and you're being reminded this morning by the Spirit of God, this is your community. Be with these people. Help where you can to keep the facility up, but most importantly, fill yourself with the Word of God and the Spirit of God to minister to one another for the glory of God. My prayer is that you would jump at any opportunity that you may be given. Sometimes you may be asked specifically to help. Can you help in this A, B, and C? Jump at those opportunities. Sometimes you may recognize a need that nobody else has recognized. Don't sit back and go, man, I wish somebody would do that. Don't say, hey, can I take care of this particular need? To dedicate the house of the Lord takes a community. Finally, to dedicate the house of the Lord takes contribution. And we don't preach much on giving, but here it is in our text, verses 62 and 63. Now the king and all Israel with him offered sacrifice before the Lord. Well, where'd that come from? Solomon offered for the sacrifice of peace offerings, which he offered to the Lord, 22,000 oxen, 120,000 sheep. That's a lot of blood, people. And the king and all the sons of Israel dedicated the house of the Lord. I find this fascinating. Why? It's fascinating because, again, if you remember what I told you, King David had pretty much supplied everything that was necessary to build the temple. The endowment was there. Yet just before we read in verse 63 that the building was dedicated, we find Solomon and all the people doing what? Bringing more sacrifices. These were not offerings secured by browbeating the people to give. Would you please give? Would you please give? We're running short this month. Would you please give? There was no browbeating. This was, look at what God has done for us. And out of the generosity of hearts, these free will, it says peace offerings, free will offerings, the people gave, they contributed. And what was it? For the worship of the Lord, they sacrificed for the house of the Lord. Let me just remind you that the upkeep of any building is costly. How many of you know that? We have a very modest mortgage on this facility. We have insurance and utilities, trash. We have a locking trash can that doesn't lock. We pay extra for that. There's maintenance. Now, Israel had a tithe, as you're aware of, a tax to keep up on the temple. At this point, however, the people were giving above and beyond for the house of the Lord as an expression of giving thanks to the Lord. So sometimes our thinking gets skewed here. You know, I'm going to give my offering to the Lord for the service of the Lord. I know that the pastor gets paid and the utilities got to get paid. And we have missionaries that we also minister to. But this is going above all of that, as to say, I just want to say thanks to the Lord. And so they were bringing additional sacrifices for the Lord. It cost them something. It'd be nice to say that we had a predecessor who supplied all that was needed for this building, right? But even if we did, we'd still have the upkeep. But I remind you that you and I are blessed by the Lord. And if you participate in any way in the ministries of this particular church, then we must consider giving, not just for the sake of giving, but giving generously. Even as so much has been accomplished, even because of those accomplishments, guess what? Because we've got a nice facility where it's going to have to work twice as hard to keep everything up now. And so prayerfully consider your own additional free will offerings. 2 Corinthians 9:7 reminds us each one must do just as he has purposed in his heart, not grudgingly or under compulsion, for God loves a what? Cheerful giver, a hilarious giver, one that just delights and laughs at the prospect of giving additional things to the Lord. For Solomon and all Israel, after all the years of preparation and giving for the building, the temple was now completed. Solomon prayed his prayer of dedication, and then the king and all of the Israelites officially dedicated the temple to the Lord. This morning I want to do something somewhat similar, just by way of recognizing God's provision. I would ask you to join me as we once again dedicate this place to the work and to the glory of God. I wish to do this by having us pray a prayer together. It is an adapted prayer. I'm going to have you stand up in just a moment, and we're going to put this prayer on the screen. I'm going to read the part that says pastor, and then it's going to say congregation, and that's where you're going to come in, and we're going to do it all together, and we're going to re-offer ourselves and this facility to the Lord. This is a prayer that was originally used at the dedicatory service at Moody Bible Church on November 8th, 1925. And we're going to adapt it for Hope Community Bible Church on January 5th, 2020. So let me have you stand, and we're going to have this on the screen in just a moment. And let me begin by praying this part of our prayer, and then you will pray what you see on the screen. Having been prospered by the good hand of our God and enabled by His grace and power to occupy this place of worship and service, to be used to the glory of His name, we will now, in His holy presence, dedicate this building to Him. We dedicate this building to be a place of corporate worship. We dedicate this building to be a place of prayer. We dedicate this building to be a place where God's word is honored and faithfully proclaimed. We dedicate this building to be a light in this community, proclaiming the good news of Jesus Christ to all who will hear. Holy, blessed, and glorious Trinity, three persons and one God. Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, our Father who is in heaven. Son of God, the only begotten of the Father, head of the body who is the church, head over all things to the church, prophet, priest, and king, whose glorious appearing shall be to all people. Holy Spirit, our comforter, counselor, guide, and friend. For comfort to those who mourn, for strength to those who are tempted, for the instruction and training of children and youth, for the sending forth of the gospel to the uttermost parts of the earth.
To you we dedicate this place, and we
We dedicate this building now to the glory of God the Father, to the honor of Jesus Christ, His Son, and to the praise of the Holy Spirit, to God be the glory forever. Amen. You may be seated. Let me close with now a closing word of prayer, and we will sing a song together, and then we'll have the men come forward, and we will receive the Lord's Supper. Heavenly Father, we thank You for this time in Your Word, a reminder that ultimately any dedication, anything that is to be dedicated to You, comes at a resolve, a commitment on our part. Father God, use us, we pray, heart, soul, mind, spirit, all that we have, all that we are, to fulfill Your purposes in this world. Lord, may we go to every great length to see people brought to faith in Jesus Christ, to the making of disciples, those who will follow Jesus to the very end. Father, we thank You for this facility, but we thank You more for these people and for the people You will bring to Yourself through the ministry that we have together here in this place. To God be the glory. You have done great things. We know that You will continue to do great things. Be glorified as You do them through us. We ask and pray in Jesus' name. Amen.